August 17th, 2014, Sunday afternoon service. Today we are going to review Psalm 72, a Psalm of Solomon. Give the king your judgments, O God, and your righteousness to the king's son. As you know, Solomon is a son of David, so here the king means David, and the king's son could mean Solomon. David was the king of kings in Israel, and his name was often quoted throughout the Bible to show what a king ought to be. And Jesus says, the scriptures speak of me. David was also a foreshadow of Jesus, which is the king of kings and the Lord of lords. So this psalm also talks about Jesus. We have to dig into this to understand such mystery of the kingdom of God. And Jesus said to his disciples about the mystery of the kingdom of God, the secret of the kingdom of God has been given to you, but to those on the outside, everything is said in parables. So as a disciple of Jesus, we have to try to understand all those mysteries in the scriptures. Verse 2, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Here, he, judging people, may be David, but it could also mean Jesus. You know the story that David's servant killed one of Saul's sons and brought back his head to David, thinking it would please David, but David was upset because the innocent blood was shed, and the servant who assassinated Saul's son ended up being killed by David. The Old Testament, Israel was ruled by God himself. Babylon had Babylonian king, and Assyria had their own king, but the Israelites had God. In the New Testament, this kingdom of God is the church now, and the king is Jesus, and he is ruling our church. We don't see it with our natural eyes, so if we ask people who rules the church, the Catholics might say it is the Pope, or the Protestants might say Billy Graham or other powerful preachers, but it is the Christ who is ruling the church. People made the same mistakes in the Old Testament era. In the book of Samuel, it says that Samuel got upset when people asked for a king. But God was also upset because God himself was ruling his own people and the nation. In New Testament era, it is now Jesus Christ who is ruling our kingdom and his people in the church. Verse 2, he will judge your people with righteousness and your poor with justice. Our prime minister does the same in Japan as a leader. He rewards who has done honorable things in the nation, and he punishes those who are harmful to the society. In the Catholic Church, there are so many scandals caused by priests, and I'm not sure if the Pope is being fair and just to those who suffered or being easy on the predators. But the ultimate ruler is Jesus Christ, and we should not worry about judgment by other people. There are many Christians who worry too much about pleasing other people rather than pleasing God. The church I used to go a while back believed in Christ coming twice. The pastor believed it and even told people that he would send people away if they did not agree with him. Some seminary students, including myself, felt threatened. I didn't agree with him, but all the students were quizzed about this on the exam, and when I did not answer the way he taught us, I got really bad score and got kicked out of the school and the church. We need to know that when God is ruling your life, you might experience a temporary setback, but you will also see God's righteous judgment. That's what justice means, so that a setback led me to the path that I am on now, and I'm able to walk deeper with God and to understand his revelation about the end time. And the church and the whole organization experienced some major troubles later on. So everything happening in the church, in the Christian church, is just within the knowledge of Jesus Christ, who is the true ruler of the church. He does indeed judge his church and the people accordingly. Many people are blinded, so they only see what their natural eyes see, and that's how their lives will be unfold. But there are other people whose spiritual eyes are opened, and they seek the righteous judgment of the Lord, and that's what they will receive in their walk with the Christ. Verse 3 and 4. The mountains will bring peace to the people, and the little hills by righteousness. He will bring justice to the poor of the people. He will save the children of the needy, and will break in pieces the oppressors. As you know, there are many contradictions in the Bible, like blessed are the poor in spirit. This poor in the spirit, or poor, is repeatedly mentioned in verse 2, 3, and 13. In this world, poor people are despised. If you and your friend go buy some juice, for example, and realize that your friend doesn't have any money to buy juice from himself, you would pay for him, right? But if that happens all the time, you might eventually stop hanging out with him. But poor in spirit, as the Bible says, are hungry for more of God, and they seek God with all their might, and God likes that. And when you're satisfied, you stop seeking God, but hungry people seek God, and they will find blessings from the search. I got saved when I was young, and when I was in high school, I was going to this church where they had about 100 members. There was a prayer room next to the altar, and I often went there after school to pray. And I had such a hunger for God. But all those years I frequented to the church to pray, I never saw anyone else in the prayer room. I might have seen a pastor a few times, but I never saw other people. And there are many teens and those who were in the 20s in the church, but I used to wonder if I was the only one who was feeling this kind of hunger and thirst for God. But I now know that this was such a blessing that I had such a hunger. Verse 5. They shall fear God as long as the sun and the moon endure throughout all generations. As the church, fearing God is so important. As the proverb says that the fear of the Lord is the beginning of the wisdom, let us fear God and not people. People nowadays do not fear God. Even Jesus told Peter, "Get behind me, Satan," because Peter was not fearing God and God's ultimate plan for humanity, and Peter was only thinking about his own world as a man. As for the end time revelations, if you don't have the fear of the Lord, people cannot understand the mystery. Like in Matthew 24 that talks about the destruction of the temple at the end time. And after the Jews were crucified Jesus, their temple was destroyed, and this spiritual temple, which is the church now, will be destroyed again in the end time. And not the physical destruction, but the spiritual destruction. And like this, I believe we will continue to learn many things from the Lord when we have our eyes fixed on the Lord, and not to the people. Verse 6. He shall come down like rain upon the grass before mowing, like showers that water the earth. It says, He shall come down like rain. This is Jesus and His Spirit. He comes down and gives us spiritual awakening and spiritual power. Verse 7 and 8. In His days the righteous shall flourish in abundance of peace until the moon is no more. He shall have dominion also from sea to sea and from the river to the ends of the earth. As you know, the sea or water represents spirit. I talked about Toronto blessings in the morning service. Those demonically inspired revival movement is all within God's knowledge. Whether you get sucked into this kind of movement, it's all within the knowledge of God. But if you have discernment, you might walk into a wrong movement, but you realize what it is, and you might walk away from it. Well, I used to think Benny Hinn was right, but when I realized what was going on, I walked away from his revival. Verse 9. Those who dwell in the wilderness will bow before him, and his enemies will lick the dust. Here, his enemy means those who oppose Christ, like the one who says Jesus never resurrected or he was not born of virgin, and those people will end up licking the dust. Verse 10 and 11, The kings of Tarshish and of the isles will bring presents. The king of Sheba and Seba will offer gifts. Yes, all kings shall fall down before him. All nations shall serve him. This we are to bring our gifts to God, our spiritual gifts, for his pleasure and for his purpose. And all the nation, which means all his churches around the world, shall bow before Jesus Christ. Verse 12 and 13. For he will deliver the needy when he cries, the poor also, and him who has no helper. He will spare the poor and needy, and will save the souls of the needy. This is so true. You might get helped by the church, or the people of the church. You might not get helped by the church or by the people of the church, but when you are right with God, God himself will help you and save you. Verse 14 to 16. He will redeem their life from oppression and violence, and precious shall be their blood in his sight. And he shall live, and the gold of Sheba will be given to him. Will be made for him continually, and daily he shall be praised. There will be an abundance of grain in the earth. On top of the mountains, its fruit shall wave like Lebanon, and those of the city shall flourish like grass of the earth. This grain of the earth could also mean the word of God. So if you are handling the word of God correctly, you will be fruitful and you shall have the abundance. There are many Christians who believe that once you're saved, you're always saved. Also, many Catholics believe that there is no hell and support the evolution theory because of the Pope. But with God's grace, we have been seeing the truth. We have talked about this in the last seminar. We studied the meaning of the fiery red horse and in the Revelation, and we learned that this is about the spiritual movement. Jesus said that he did not come to bring peace, but a sword. He said, for I come to set a man against his father, a daughter against her mother, and a daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law, and a man's enemy will be those of his own household. So when the Holy Spirit comes, there will be a war, since there are other spirits to stop and prevent people from coming to the knowledge of God. The fiery red horse means Jesus came with the sword, and sword is the word of God. So there will be many disputes within the church over different doctrines. But those who follow God will have the abundance. Jesus is the King, and he will reward richly to those who are embracing the truth. But for those who are twisting the teaching to benefit them, make them fit for their agenda, God will judge them accordingly. Verse 17 to 19. His name shall endure forever. His name shall continue as long as the sun. As man shall be blessed in him, all nations shall call him blessed. Blessed be the Lord God, the God of Israel, who only does wondrous things. And blessed be his glorious name forever. And let the whole earth be filled with his glory. Amen and amen. The prayers of David, the son of Jesse, are ended. So to summarize, we have to remember that our King is Jesus Christ. Many Christians nowadays do own the Bible, but do not read the Bible. Many are blinded. But if you understand this, you will spiritually see the truth.